Hello, thank you for joining us today on this opening night for the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We celebrate the kingdom of God during the Feast of Tabernacles. We know to be part of this kingdom, we must endure to the end. We can never give up. We can never lose hope. That takes commitment, determination, and diligence on our part. Make no mistake about it, it is time for diligence, the kind of diligence so eloquently written about in the New Testament. In Hebrews, we can read that God will not forget about our work and labor of love, and that there was this desire that the faithful continue to show diligence, never giving up, so that we will inherit the promises, including our place in the kingdom of God. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and that at the last trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise, and the faithful who are alive will be changed into the spirit and have eternal life. As we keep this feast and celebrate the kingdom of God, we also look forward to this future family reunion for the household of faith, knowing that if we continue to show diligence to the very end, victory will be ours through Jesus Christ. Knowing that if we endure to the end, we will win, that should be motivation enough to diligently seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We do not know when Jesus will return. All we know is he will return. We find ourselves wanting his return to happen sooner than later because we know all of the good that will come through the kingdom of God. But we also know it is not up to us to decide when. That decision belongs solely to God the Father. Knowing that the kingdom of God will be established, that should give us reason to diligently develop righteousness and godliness, giving us the privilege to look forward to this wonderful time to come with peace. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that he may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Through faith, we all become the children of God through Jesus Christ. As the children of God, we are all treated equally by God. With God as Christians today, it makes no difference to him what our lineage is. It makes no difference to God which country we come from or who our ancestors are. It also doesn't make any difference to God if our ancestors can be traced back to the tribes of Israel or not. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we all have the opportunity to be saved and to be part of the kingdom of God, as if we are the descendants of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and we celebrate knowing faith is needed to be part of the kingdom of God. We know the faith we must have today is a faith that reaches beyond just knowledge and hope. Through faith, we know the kingdom of God will be established and be of great prominence. All nations will become part of this kingdom. God and Jesus Christ will not only be exalted among the people of God, but among all non-believers throughout our planet. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Micah writes that when the kingdom of God is established, that many will come to be part of it. They will want to learn the ways of God and will want to do what is expected of them. And they will also reap this future peace dividend where war is a thing of the past and that people are able to relax and enjoy the bounty of their own land. Micah 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. In the kingdom of God, it will be easy for all to see that God has done excellent things, that God has done things with virtue, and this will be known throughout the entire planet. Isaiah 12, verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles that looks forward to the kingdom of God, a kingdom steeped in virtue, means we realize, like Jesus taught, that his kingdom is not of this world. When Jesus returns, society will be changed, and the kingdom of God will be established on earth. For now, the kingdom of God is something we wait for. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I share bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Isaiah writes about Jesus Christ, who will return to establish the kingdom of God. We are told, among many things, that he would have the Holy Spirit, have wisdom and understanding, be respectful towards God, and have the spirit of knowledge. During his earthly ministry, Jesus confounded the religious elite and even the lay people with his knowledge and understanding of scriptures. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Knowledge does not come all at once. There is no pill that is given that imbues knowledge on any topic. Imagine how much money could be saved if instead of having children spend years in school, if instead swallowing a simple pill could replace all those years of learning. Spiritually, the knowledge that we have doesn't come all at once either. And that is made clear to us because Peter writes we are to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Spiritually, keeping our body under subjection is important for us today. Paul's concern that he shared with the Corinthians was that he could be so busy preaching to others that he would not bring his body into subjection and would lose out on salvation. Paul uses an analogy of a race, and the prize we all seek in our race is eternal life in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Romans were encouraged to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, so that they could prove what was good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Temperance tells us to think soberly of ourselves, meaning we do not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. If there are certain things we are good at, most of us will know what that is. But that should never give us a reason to think more highly of ourselves. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We celebrate the kingdom of God during this feast, and we know the kingdom of God will be established when Jesus Christ returns. Jesus took care to explain that nobody would know the timing of his return, nobody except God the Father. Not even the angels in heaven, not even the angels who are around the throne of God would know when Jesus would be set to return. To this world, there will be no special event signaling the return of Jesus. The day Jesus returns will be just like about any other day to them. Even at this late stage in human history, people will be living their lives not knowing how close they are to the kingdom of God. For the faithful, that also serves as a reminder to be prepared for the return of Jesus. Jesus encouraged the faithful to watch, to be ready for his return, because we do not know exactly when that will happen. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We celebrate the kingdom of God as we live in the end time. Living in the end time, we live in a time when some depart from the faith, being deceived and led astray, as if they forgot about the serpent in the Garden of Eden that deceived Eve. During this end time, we are not to go down spiritual rabbit holes. There are no special doctrines we need to establish. All that we need is given to us through the pages of the Bible. Living in a world that finds adventure in the mysteries of man and that seeks to extend youth through physical fitness, it is best for us to spiritually exercise ourselves to godliness. Just like a person might physically exercise to be physically in shape, we need to be spiritually in shape, what the Bible calls godliness. And godliness leads to many wonderful things for us. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. In his first letter, John reminds us that having brotherly love shows we are well on the path to eternal life. Celebrating the kingdom of God through the Feast of Tabernacles should remind all of us of the need to have brotherly love for each other. John explained that when brotherly love is present, we know we have passed from death to life. He added that the love we are to have is not a love of just words. What we do must back up what we believe and say. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. When Jesus said he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill the law and prophets, we can see that Jesus came to fulfill the law through love. And Jesus taught love, even giving us a new commandment to have love for one another. When Jesus taught that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, love is how this happens. Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul wrote to the Galatians, explaining we have freedom from the penalty of the law, and that we fulfill the law by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Our place in the kingdom of God is made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave his human life so we all could have eternal life. Without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for us of eternal life in the kingdom of God. But here we are, thanks to the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ that makes possible for us eternal life and our place in the kingdom of God, celebrating the kingdom of God through the Feast of Tabernacles. Between now and the return of Jesus Christ, we can never stop growing or shrink back. We must remain committed, determined, and diligent. During this feast, we will be examining what Peter wrote in the second letter. Tonight, we have looked at diligence, and throughout this feast, we will be examining faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, and we will see how these tie neatly into the kingdom of God and the Feast of Tabernacles. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles is a time to celebrate the kingdom of God. We all want eternal life, and we all want to be part of this kingdom. The kingdom of God will be a time of plenty and a time of peace. It will be a time when Satan is banished into the bottomless pit and when the righteousness of God influences what happens on earth. It will be a time when there will be no more pain and sorrow. There will be no more death and crying, for the former things will be passed away. The kingdom of God will be fantastic beyond anything we can comprehend. So during this Feast of Tabernacles, let's celebrate the good times to come. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow for the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.